Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is hors d'oeuvres. Who can actually spell the word hors d'oeuvre, first of all? There's a funky little O-E thing that goes in there. Does anybody know what hors d'oeuvres, what the word even means? Finger food. That is the Greek word right there. Finger, it's two words that mean finger food. That's not it. My goodness. I should have just left that out there. Y'all would have just spread that nonsense. Oh, do you know what hors d'oeuvres are? I learned it from a preacher. It must be true. It is basically, they're appetizers, but the words really are before work. Okay, hors d'oeuvres, the two words together in French mean before work. And really what it is, maybe the eating of a meal is work to some people. Like in Italian, they have this thing kind of like hors d'oeuvres called antipasta. I'm not against any kind of pasta. I'll eat pasta anywhere. But that's another way of looking at it. It's something you eat before the main entree, the main meal, the main work that's been done maybe of that meal. Let me read you a definition of an appetizer, which hors d'oeuvres are appetizers. A food or drink that stimulates the appetite and is usually served before a meal. Now, we talked before about cocktails, and my decision there was, and assessment there is, if you're going to drink cocktails, literally, you're doing that for some reason, you're being sociable. But a lot of people drink to get full of the spirits, we'll call it that. And if you get full of the spirits, then that's going to modify your behavior, a little bit of temporary happiness, a little buzz. And if we could just keep that going, that'd be great. The problem is you can't keep it going. If you keep drinking, you end up addicted to the stuff, an alcoholic, and the buzz goes away and it doesn't work. But there's a way to get buzz, to get high, to get a longer lasting fix, and it's through the Holy Spirit. So you don't get filled with the spirits, you get filled with the Spirit. Now, if you get filled with the Spirit, something is going to happen, because you can't get filled with the Spirit without being a Christian, okay? You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit of God without being a Christian. And so if you become a Christian and you are filled with the Spirit of God, something is going to happen pretty quick. There is going to be, as the definition for appetizer says, there's going to be something that stimulates a hunger. There's going to be something that stimulates your appetite for more. And built into the process, God gives you this desire. Is exactly like a newborn baby. And without jumping to John and spending all our time there today, but John 3, where Nicodemus goes to Jesus and says, you know, how can I get into heaven, basically? He says, well, you've got to be born again. Well, he's not saying physically. Nicodemus says, well, how can a man climb back up in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus says, you know, you're a teacher of the law. You should know better. It's not about physical. It's about spiritual. But the parallels are similar in that if you are physically born, one of the first things that happens, and where, by the way, where there is a newborn baby, somewhere there is milk that is produced to feed that newborn. And one of the tragedies, at least the way I grew up and the system that I grew up in, is that certain religious groups are rewarded for making babies, not for raising them. And we give African-American community in this country all kind of hell over making babies, illegitimate children, out of wedlock. The church is worse than any community ever was for throwing babies in dumpsters. We notch the fuselage of the church. We get out there and get them saved. I'm saying, okay, now where are they? If they got saved, somebody, there should have been some breast milk produced somewhere in that congregation to take that person on. And if they don't make it, whose fault is it? Now you say, well, the Holy Spirit can take care of them. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit takes care of them through us. And you say, well, that's the preacher's job. You know, even a preacher can only feed two at a time. Let's just leave it at that. You know, you can only feed so many babies at a time. It takes all of us doing our job. Now, let's assume you've got people in your life who want to help feed you. There should be something inside of you that creates this hunger, this thirst, and you say, okay, where is it? I do want to grow. And you can't maybe go into some heavy-duty Bible study and deep into theological stuff, but you've got this hunger, this thirst. The Bible describes it as a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the promise that comes with that hunger and thirst is what? You'll be filled. So if you've got a hunger and you've got a thirst, the scripture talks about the fact that you are going to be filled. and that there is food out there for you, but you got to look for it and be willing to take it when it comes. Now, one of the things that usually churches try to do, or if you're a kid and you're going off to camp somewhere, sometimes somebody's going to say, well, you ought to get up in the morning and have a quiet time, right? Now, for me, I think a lot of people think, well, the quiet time is that time between when the alarm clock goes off and you turn it off and know that for about 5 minutes later, it's going to come back on. That's a really nice quiet time. That's not what we're talking about. A quiet time, that's the word, a devotional time or something. You say, well, what is that? How do you do that? I mean, a lot of people have trouble praying for 5 seconds. I mean, if I said, bow your head and let's pray for the next 30 minutes. Oh, God, thanks for the lunch. Hope this is over fast, you know. You say, well, what am I going to talk to God about? You don't know how to talk to God, maybe. So you start with something. You say, okay, maybe I have to write some stuff down. Or maybe you get a little book that gives you some sampling, some guideline. Maybe you say to a friend, you say, look, man, I've been a Christian 2 weeks. I don't know what to do. No one wants to look stupid. Stupid and ignorant are not the same thing. But men especially are terrified to look stupid, so they won't admit they're ignorant. And ignorant is just you don't know yet. You have got to get some breast milk in your system or you will not make it. Not you will go to hell. It's just you will feel like hell and you'll slip right back into your old way of living and think nothing happened. The devil will come snatch you away and go, whatever that was, if you're all that now, why are you still sleeping around with people? Why are you still getting drunk? Why are you? So the importance of early on getting him connected to some supply. Now you say, well, okay, that makes sense. I became a Christian 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You could be 2 weeks old for 20 years. And when my life finally came to a screeching halt, I had graduated from seminary. I was sixth generation of preachers in my family. I had pastored a church for 4 years. And I realized I am sucking air. I'm dying. I got nothing. And it's not working. I have a head full of information, but this is not working. I am starving to death for some reason. Somebody's got to help me. And so I shut it down. I said, I'm not going to pastor a church. I'm not going to teach anything else. I'm not going to give this hand-me-down kind of like a bird getting a worm and holding it in his mouth and feeding somebody else. Breast milk is pre-digested food. I got to find somebody who's eaten this food and it processed it and can feed me. Now, I'm not chewing it myself, maybe, but it's nourishment. Then I can see it happening in somebody's life. Well, and you've heard me share this maybe before. I shut down. It scares some people. I said, you know what? I don't care what you think anymore. I'm dying. I'm not playing this game for you. I'm not going to act anymore for you. I've got to find out who I am. And I literally remember saying, if I am 2 weeks old, not mentally, not educationally, but if I am 2 weeks old spiritually, okay, let's find that out. And let me go back where I really am and pick it up where I left off and grow up. And if that bothers some people, so what? Let them, you know, fake it till they make it, or if that's what their plan is, I'm going to at least try to figure out how old I am and grow up. Now, I'm strongly encouraging you to do this, because if you're just a religious person and you have filled your head with stuff and you can quote verses, and, you know, I'm not against memorizing scripture, obviously, and quoting verses, but if that's all you got, somebody who's got more than that in their heart spiritually is going to discern that pretty fast. Because usually the people that can just quote scripture with an empty heart are mad as hell. They're angry, judgmental, finger-pointing, condescending, condemning people. There is no joy. There is no peace. There is no gentleness. There's, you know, if you're going to feed a baby, I mean, men, it's a good thing God did not give men breasts to feed babies, because we'd be roughhousing them. You know, either do this or don't. You know, let's get to the bottom line. You know. Women have some built-in, innate, and the Holy Spirit sends people, and we should be those people where you take someone gently and you wait till they get connected and you help them and you hold them. I mean, just imagine, you've seen, you know, there's nothing like watching a woman feed a baby, breastfeed a baby. From her perspective, from the baby's perspective, it's this tedious but amazing thing where this child finally gets fed and begins to grow. That's how it's supposed to work in the body. So God sends along these little appetizers. This may be an appetizer today for you. You say, well, I can come to something and hear some guy speak, and I get that. Okay, well then, obviously in a matter of minutes, I can only read so many scripture, tell so many stories. What I hope happens off of this, my job is to be the saltiest cracker I can be
so that you get this thirst. You get something in you and you go, wait a minute, if that was in there, what else is in there? You're supposed to be going home and saying, okay, well, if John's a good place to start, I'm going to go home and read John. You say, well, I've tried that. And I start reading in John and I get bogged down in the seventh verse. Keep going. Take notes. Write it down. Go to your church. You say, well, I don't have a church. Get a church for God's sake. My goodness. There's like 1,000 of them in Dallas. You could go to a different one every Sunday for decades. And many of you are doing just that, I think. You've got to get in this book and you've got to get connected with God. Now, you got to have some cocktails first and say, God, you know what? I'm not coming to you wanting to hold on to anything in the world. I'm coming to you saying, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. You got to help me. And you've given me, there's this, if we are really salt in the world, that creates thirst. People go, wow, I got to get something to drink. What are you drinking? And then they ask us and we're ready to give a reason, always ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us, because that hope is obvious at some point. And then people go in here and they start reading. Just start reading. Don't get bogged down. Just read it. Just say, Holy Spirit, you live in me now. I'm your child, God. Talk to me. You wrote this thing. You live in me. Talk to me. You don't give him enough chance sometimes. Keep reading. You might sit down and read the whole book of John in one evening. It doesn't take long. And if you get to a place and something hits you, just stop and say, okay, God, what's that? What are you trying to tell me? And meditate on it and read it with the intent to do whatever he tells you to do. That's what'll change your life. I had to read the Bible to study it, to pass some test, to play some role. I didn't care about doing what it said. I didn't really know very personally the author of the book. But when you spend a little time getting connected to him, then you want to read the book and now your life will start changing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, without reading this whole thing, but this is written by Peter to Christians who have been dispersed, who have been scattered because of persecution all over the ancient world there. They're everywhere and they're suffering. They're going through problems. Down in verse 13, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, don't go back to the old way of life, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Let me just tell you straight up, if you don't get connected to a local church, don't spend some time with God almost every day, as much as possible, you can talk, you can pray. If you don't get something out of the scripture, even some appetizer out of it, you are going back. Period. Your old friends will suck you in. You will not have the resistance. You won't have the know-how, the N-O know-how to say, I don't want to go back there, because you're so anemic, you're so weak, your resistance is down, you're not hungry for God anymore, and the old way seems better than the new way because the new way is not working very good because you're not working the new way very well anyway. Get new friends, get godly friends, get plugged into a church, find a Bible study at your office or in your neighborhood. Do something to get around some people who are hungry for the same thing you're hungry for. Then let me jump down here to verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And then he goes right into 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and he uses the word therefore. So he says, because of all this I've just said to you, therefore, laying aside all malice, and I love the word malice in the Greek is kakia. Anyhow, we'll just leave that there. Malice, which is maliciousness, wickedness, naughtiness, ill will, desire to injure. You think, well, how can I be a Christian and have that? Peter's saying, put it down. If you're walking around with malice, thinking I'm going to hurt somebody, I'm going to get somebody, and you claim to be a Christian, something's wrong. And I'm going to tell you what, if that's what's going on with you, you are a tiny little baby spiritually. Laying aside all malice, all deceit. The word here for deceit is craft, guile. If you're manipulative, if you're trying to figure out a way to get things done, not the right way necessarily. The other word here, deceit, hypocrisies. Listen to the root word here for hypocrisy. To take up another's statements in reference to what one has decided for oneself. You are saying someone else's lines. You were memorized. What I did for 20-something years was memorize lines to be repeated on the stage of religious life. So I memorized some verses, and at the right time, the right place, I could do the praise the Lord, God bless you, God is good, all the time, all the time. See, okay, so you know all these little, you know, you can get up in some church and the priest says his line, you say your line. Oh, so what? You know a bunch of lines. What's your heart look like? And we give all the Catholics and Episcopalians all this time, they get up and read out, you know what, Baptist, Presbyterian, we all got our own set of lines. He says, lay aside all this malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy. You got envy? If you rejoice, I ought to go, wow, that's great for you. But when you come in here and say, well, I'm hurt and I'm in pain and you got tears, you know what? Something ought to go off in me too and go, wow, you hurt, I hurt. Why? Because we're family, for God's sake. That's how it ought to work. So he says, lay aside all these things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And that covers a lot of ground. All evil speaking. And then look what comes after that. Lay all those things aside. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, it appears to me that if you got all these things, malice, guile, evil speaking, hypocrisy, you're going to have a hard time drinking this milk if you're not willing to lay that stuff down. You say, well, I'm not letting go of the evil speaking. I'm not letting go of the malice. Somebody hurt me. I'm going to hurt them. Then you're not going to grow. It's over. You're shut down. You may die and go to heaven. You may get there quicker than you thought because it might kill you. You'll eat yourself up with anger, with envy, with all these things. And I'm telling you, lay it down. The book says, lay it aside. Put it aside. Don't live that way. You say, well, you don't know what those people did to me. And you don't know what hating them is doing to you. And it's not accomplishing anything. I have conversations with people who hate dead people. They are angry and vengeful and full of evil and malice, all these things towards someone who is dead. And you look at them, you say, they're dead. How are you hurting a dead person? They are dead. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to get them. I'm like, and how are you going to do it? Listen to yourself. Why won't you forgive a dead person? They're already pretty much where they're going to be. Something is already figured out. You're destroying no one's life but your own. Lay it aside and get on with your life. Grow up. And what does he say? How do you do it? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You can't grow without this milk. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And you know what? Maybe that is the question. Have you ever tasted that the Lord is gracious? Go back to that. Couples come in for counseling. And then, well, we don't love each other anymore. And I hate her. And I don't even want to be in here. And I don't know how I got here. Rawr, rawr, all this, you know, animosity. And if you take a little time, you go back and say, you know what? Let's just kind of stop this a minute. Let's go back somewhere. Was there ever a time when y'all just loved each other? Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's been 500 years ago or whatever, you know. Well, let's go back there. Tell me about your first date. And all of a sudden you get back in there and buried in all those, the dust and the ashes is a little bitty ember. And they both poke around there a little bit and look in there and go, well, yeah. And she was this and he was that. And he used to do this and she used to do that. And all of a sudden you stoke that fire a little bit and they're looking at each other and a little tear comes and they went back where they quit. And all of a sudden you can rekindle some stuff. You say, well, it's too much time has gone by. I don't know. When it comes to Jesus, the only reason too much time can by because you say it has. He'll always take you back. Let's go back where we left off and grow up and get on with this and enjoy this life and this living that he intended for us. I got just a little more time here, so let me read you some other verses. You can go read this on your own if you want to, and the stuff around it. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. And this is Paul writing to another screwed up bunch of Christians, so here we go. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. I, brethren, so he's speaking to Christians, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Now, is it a bad thing to be a babe in Christ and need milk? No. The bad thing is after 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you are still drinking breast milk. Or you abandon even that. Something's not right. Something is not working. Now, for a while, he said, I couldn't speak to you as the spiritual because we got the breast milk, we got you growing, but then you leveled off, you flatlined, and you didn't keep going. So now I'm speaking to you like you're carnal, not spiritual. You couldn't get it. You weren't listening. And he says, and still you're not able. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, Paul writing to the same church, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, being a babe is a great thing in some categories out there. But when it comes to the Bible, being a babe indefinitely is not a good thing. Now, my simple challenge for you today is to grow up. If you take a teenager or a 20 or a 30-year-old and they're acting very childish, what does that mean? They're being selfish. They're being envious. They're being spiteful. They're being evil. We say, you know what? You need to snap out. You need to grow up. You know what the Holy Spirit says to me and to us? You need to grow up. Snap out of it. What are you doing? Lay that stuff aside and let's get on with this. And you don't like it in little kids or in coworkers or people in your own family or neighborhood or relatives, then don't be that. Put aside all this stuff that's stunting your growth and get in a position, get in a place and say, God, you know what? Enough's enough. I don't know how old I am, but somewhere this stopped and all this other junk has come in. I went back. It's all come in my life. I go to Bible study. I go to church. I even give some money, but I'm mean as a devil. I'm angry all the time. I'm trying to hurt me and everybody else around me, and I don't want to live this way anymore, and I don't want to die this way. You got to help me. And go looking for some pure milk and ask God to send you somebody to breastfeed you if that's where you are.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this bunch of people here and some listening beyond here. I know what it feels like, Lord, to have a head full of a bunch of information and just be reciting a bunch of lines and it not be real, not be personal. And I pray for anybody, Lord, today who's feeling like they've had enough of it and it is time to grow up and they got to lay aside a bunch of stuff to do it. But anything would be better than living and dying this way. So, Lord, for people who have tasted, I pray they'll go back to what they tasted first and say, Lord, let's pick up where we left off, get all this junk out of my life. Before I can do any work, you're going to have to grow me up so that I can really serve you. I ought to be teaching. I ought to be the one out here sharing this information, but there's not any love in my heart to back up the information in my head. So let's just pick up where we left off. Help me grow up. Send me somebody. Find if I don't have a church, Lord, get me a church. Surround me with people who can help me grow. Lord, maybe there's somebody here going, you know what? I'd love to have the problem of wanting to grow. I don't even feel like I'm alive. I pray for those people, Lord, that just are alive physically, but spiritually they feel dead, that maybe today they'd understand they can be born spiritually, and that's where they get the new life and this hunger and this desire to know you and ability to know you, a hunger that you put in there. Lord, may somebody today just say, God, I need to be born. I'm obviously alive physically, but I'm dead spiritually. I want to be alive, really alive, forever alive with you. I understand that Jesus died on that cross, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for me in heaven that he offers as a free gift and to offer me not just eternal life with you, but an abundant, a full life between here and heaven. I accept the forgiveness of my sin and I accept this gift of eternal life. Come live in me and through me, God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me grow in my heart, not just my head, in a way that people who know me know that I know you and that I love you and you love me and you're loving them through me. Change not only my life, but the world around me, Lord. Use me, I pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that we can pick up where we left off, even though there are consequences. We can pick up there and move ahead and grow up. May somebody do that today, Lord. Make that decision. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.